Love is a constant element and a constant theme of life. Not just for people, but for all beings. There is such a thing as selfless love, love that asks nothing in return, and it simply is, regardless of external circumstances. There is such a thing as selfish love. Love that is imbued with ignorance and confusion and with clinging. The two are never far apart because the root of love is the same regardless of the external form that love takes. At its root, love simply is. We can't help but love. And whenever our love is imbued with ignorance and confusion and with clinging, we can't help but eventually be hurt. The hurt is the sign that there is something in our love that needs help. There's something in our love that needs conversion. And it is not the case that there's something in love itself that is wrong. It is in the conditions that we put on it, the constrictions that we subject it to, the expectations and insistence with which we imbue it, not in love itself. Selfish love is selfless love turned inside out. It's like a sock that you're wearing that's turned inside out. It's the same sock. It's just inside out. The purpose of spiritual training is to allow that sock, where it is turned inside out, to turn right side out. And this is a good metaphor, the metaphor of the sock, because like pulling a sock right side out that is inside out, when love needs to be converted from its selfish state to its unselfish state, it has, in a sense, to be pulled back through itself. And this is done by turning within . One needs an inner reference point, an inner steadying point. In order for this conversion to happen, the steadying point is found through meditation. It is the stillness within the hara. We need to withdraw within . Allow the racing thoughts to settle down . Allow the whirling emotions to calm, to draw down into the hara, where there is stillness. This description of drawing down into the hara is not metaphorical. This is something that, as this happens, people experience it. I've described it in Dharma talks, and then months later, years later, someone will come to me and tell me, oh, it happened. I found that the meditation was centering, that I felt my center to be, to drop down from my head and from my chest down into the hara, down into the belly. Can't be forced, by the way. It happens naturally in the course of training. And such is the nature of the karma that we're working on, that needs to happen many, many times. Finding this reference point of stillness is like putting your hand into the sock that's inside out, going all the way down to the toe and grabbing hold of the toe of the sock. From that point, you can start to pull it straight. Pull it right side out. And it's the Eternal who does the pulling. not us. To enable or to allow the eternal to do that pulling, we need to take that which we love those who we love and place them upon the altar of the heart. This is a more accurate way of describing what is often called letting go. But when one does the letting go properly, that's what it is. It's placing that which we love, that which we're holding on to, whatever it is, on the altar of the heart, and entrusting it to the eternal. The word entrust is a really, really good word for it. It's an act of faith. One's got to let go of the controlling thing and entrust into greater hands. This way of doing things is truly a middle path. Neither holding on nor pushing away. Neither grasping after nor striking against. Neither demanding nor rejecting. We're not trying to free ourselves from love. And it can be a very dangerous thing to react in the pain of disappointed love in a way that involves hardening the heart and embittering oneself. That is just the opposite of the grasping. It's swinging from one opposite to another. Placing that which we love on the altar of the heart and entrusting into the hands of the eternal, and then continuing to sit still and look up, trusting the process that has been set in motion through this choice. That's the key thing. as that sock gets pulled through itself, we get a whole education. We find that the pain and the disappointment, the grief and fear surrounding the possibility of losing someone, something that we love, is a wonderful teacher. Each aspect of the suffering is there to teach. It shows us where we are getting it wrong so that we can get it right. If we find ourselves in our pain, spinning off into anger and hatred, as soon as we catch it, we can bring that too to the altar of the heart. Hatred is just the result of a disappointment of a very demanding love. Such disappointment gives rise first to frustration, and then the frustration is allowed to develop into hatred. But the initial pain of disappointment is in sadness. And the eventual place where all disappointed love goes into long-term storage, if it does go into long-term storage, is in kind of dark grief. Sadness in a spiritual dungeon. Each of these emotional and spiritual states that embody so much pain has the potential to be transformed through the combination of our effort in training and the compassion and wisdom of the Eternal into an aspect of enlightenment. So frustration, can be transformed into equanimity, anger into compassion, sympathy. The roots of our difficulties with love lie in the ways in which we view, the ways in which we treat ourselves. The historical roots lie in our karmic past. When beings judge themselves as being unworthy of the love of the eternal, they create in themselves a desperate longing for love. But all such judgment is self-inflicted ultimately. The eternal never judged. Of course, other people can judge. But whether we take such judgment to heart or not is not up to other people, it's up to us. We do not have to go along with anyone's denial of the Buddha nature in anyone, ourselves or anyone else. To try to be loved is a futile effort. For we already are loved more than we could possibly ever imagine. We have no control ultimately over the choices of others. We do, however, make our own choices and take the consequences of them. We can choose to walk a path of spiritual generosity, compassion, respect. Whether others do so or not. Just as charity begins at home, according to the saying, so all true compassion begins with having compassion for oneself. All true respect begins with having respect for oneself. meditate, we allow the selfish self to quiet so that something deeper can get a word in edgeways. From that deeper place, we can learn what love really is and how to live in harmony with it in a way that does not create suffering. This is a path of faith, not a path of emotionalism, not a path of soap opera, not a path of either self-blame or self-justification. It is a path of faith.